To start. All right. Don't you start. Oh my goodness. Well, I was trying to practice what I preach and do what I'm going to talk about during the song so I wouldn't cry so hard, but it didn't work, did it? I have to blow my nose. Just talk amongst yourselves for a minute while I turn up stage. We've got the best sound man. He turned off my microphone for that. That was so nice of you. Thank you, Kenny. That was so good. All right. Okay, so I'm going to start with a story from the Sufi tradition. It's about the holy fool, Nasruddin. And Nasruddin was minding his own business, and he came upon a mosque, and he walked in, and he sat down, and he put his feet up on the altar. And the leader of the mosque came out, and he saw this, and he was shocked, and he said, "Oh my God, what are you doing? Oh my Allah, what are you doing? If you put your feet on the altar, that's horrible. This is holy ground. You must take your feet off of the altar." And Nasruddin said, "Well, if this is holy ground, and I'm not supposed to put my foot on holy ground, where should I put my feet then?" Implying that everything is holy ground. Everything is holy ground. That's what we teach in this center. That everything is holy ground, that everything is holy, even the things that we don't like. And I think one of our challenges as human beings is to see how far we can stretch open our hearts to find the wholeness or the holiness in everything. We're working on loving our enemies. We're working on blessing those who curse us. But what about the internal parts of ourselves that we find so offensive? The things that we, quote unquote, shouldn't have, blame, and shame, and regret, and judgment. Can we find holiness in that as well? Well, I would say that we can, because all of those things are opportunities to practice what we know, to go deeper into the experience of oneness. And we don't have that experience of oneness by rejecting those aspects of our being. We have the experience of oneness as we start to learn to embrace those aspects of our being. In her book, Tara Brach's True Refuge, she writes about, I mentioned this last week, how we have neural pathways in our brain, and many of our neural pathways are geared towards moving away from that which we do not wish to feel. You know, there's neural grooves that are formed, that form through habit, over and over again, moving away from that which we do not wish to feel. And she suggests that part of our joy as evolving human beings is to recondition those neural pathways into being able to be present, taking refuge in presence, and feeling even what we do not wish to feel, allowing it to be. Richard Rohr, another one of my favorite teachers, says that what you do not transform, you will transmit. Anybody ever act out of a feeling that you were repressing? Anybody? Raise your hand, please. Yeah. I know I have I do all the time, and it takes the willingness to look at the things of ourselves, the things about ourselves that feel painful, or the things that we don't want to see, or the things that we're ashamed of, to look at that and to be with it in a new way rather than running away. You want to hear something really hokey? We've already done the rain on pain is mainly in your brain, right? It's in the neural pathways, right? We're reworking our neural pathways. If we do not address our pain, if we do not look at it, then pain shall reign forever and ever. Anybody get that? Everybody. And pain shall reign forever and ever. But, point to your butts, but, I don't see anybody doing it. Okay, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. I don't see anybody doing it. It's like, you are in so much trouble. Who didn't point to their butt? Raise your hand. At least you didn't. Okay, yeah, just point to mom. Okay, let's not go there. Okay. So if we do address our pain, then we have unlimited amounts of freedom. We have unlimited amounts of power that we can use for good to bless ourselves and all beings everywhere. And that's really our purpose in this church, to be a center of love, to be love, to share love, and to serve love. And we be love, we are love, and we share love, and we serve love by addressing our inner state, our inner condition, even the places where we don't want to look. You may want to think of something that you're avoiding in your mind, or something that's not working for you right now, and see if you can identify what it is you do not wish to feel. And just see if you can hold that, just gently. Remember last week I spoke about the little birds in our aviary, right? We're just holding them like a little bird, just looking at it, gently and kindly. If we look at it long enough, the bird will grow feathers and fly away. Our birds are flying now. They're not flying well, but they're flying. They flew into my head the other day, so just hold whatever it is you don't want to feel like a little bird, and we'll do this work together. You know, as a minister, I often hear the question, why did God create a world where pain is possible? Or why is there a world where pain is possible? And I don't know that I have the true answer to that, but I suspect that in most religious traditions, the ones that we study here and the ones that I've looked at, that there is this element of resistance to life. You know, you think about the Adam and Eve story, and they were cast out of the garden so that they could find their way back to the garden eventually, find their way back to paradise. I'm confusing the Bible with Joni Mitchell. I do that all the time, okay? It's just going to happen. We just have to get used to that. You know, I think about Brahman, the supreme Hindu being, and how he cast himself into the world of existence. Spirit became matter so that he could experience the joy of discovering himself again. When I was in India, I spoke to a tantric teacher, and he talked about how Shakti and Shiva were together. They were a couple, and they split apart, and Shakti went into the earth to become matter. But a part of her remembered her true love, her beloved Shiva, and a part of her was always trying to get back to Shiva. But she had to climb over some obstacles to get there. And we all have to climb over some obstacles to get where we want to go. You know, there's this idea that Satchitananda is existence, consciousness, and bliss. And consciousness became existence so that we could have the bliss of climbing over that which appears to be in the way, in this world of infinite subject, which appears as infinite objects, which appears as illusion, and climbing over that climbing through it, moving through it to experience the bliss that we're all seeking. The bliss of oneness, the bliss of wholeness, the bliss of togetherness. If that's all too bizarre and too foreign, you can just think of it as like weightlifting, right? If you, and anybody here ever lift weight, right? Did anybody here ever get results from just lifting a pencil, right? No. I lift my bunny at home. We have one of those big bunnies, and I put him in a carrier, or her rather, in a carrier and lift her like that. I don't know, 12 pounds, she's working her way up to 20, and it's quite a workout, it's good. But, you know, you can't just lift a pencil, you can't just lift it once. Over and over again, we have to work on ourselves in order to develop our muscles. And the muscle that we're developing in spirituality, I think, is the muscle, the ability to be able to see past appearances. Our spiritual muscle is the ability to be able to see past the appearance of separation and see the power and the presence of wholeness, of God, of love in everything, even in those places where we don't want to see it. So that's our task. That is our spiritual weightlifting. That is our joy. That is our job. And if that sounds too mighty for anybody, or too weighty, or too confusing, would you stop for just a moment and consider that you've probably already done this? You've probably already been able to accept something or someone, at least outside of yourself, that sometimes is not pleasing to you. Does anybody have children? Anybody have pets? Right? There are times, I'm not a mother of humans, but I've heard from other mothers that there are times, mothers and fathers, that there are times when your kids are driving you crazy, and yet you still love them, you still embrace them. Acceptance, seeing wholeness, doesn't necessarily mean agreement. You can still disagree, but you can still embrace at the same time. You know, my experience of this mostly is with my animal kingdom and our animal kingdom that we have at home, and mostly the dogs, because the dogs are, they are so lovable, but at times they can be difficult to love. Our dog Bartok, He is such a good boy, but he likes to bark at things, like the mailman, like the FedEx guy, like any work person that comes to the house, like the cat when she does something that is an affront to his sensibilities. You know? The other day, last week rather, she climbed into one of our closets, into this place where we keep the wrapping paper and our old photos. And she climbed in there, the door was partially open, and she sat there just pleased as could be, and Barty stood in front of her going, woo, 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 just barking away, and I couldn't get him to stop. Finally, after a lot of correction, a lot of loving correction, I got him to stop. And when he came to the bed where I was sitting, he got up on the bed and he looked all sheepish. You know, his ears got long. And I said to him what I always say to him when he's being bad. Who's a horrible animal? Who's a horrible animal? Who's a horrible animal? But I do it with great love and affection. I'm not necessarily recommending that for your kids, but the spirit is there. The spirit is there. It's that people can do bad things and you can still love them so deeply, enough that you can have joy in their badness, right? Most of the time, it's a stretch for some folks, but most of the time, we can have joy in our own badness, right? Those of you who've been coming here for a while know that I wrote a piece a while back called Suffering is the New Joy. Suffering is the New Joy, and that means that being present with what is, what we used to call suffering, becomes joy as soon as we are able to be present with it. So what is the dynamic of being present? Well, there are many, but if you're searching for one, I have this book for you. And that's the reason for the title, The Rain on Pain is Mainly in the Brain, is that Tara Brach has consulted with many Buddhist teachers and come up with this four-step process, R-A-I-N, that is helpful for addressing and for being present with that which is going on in our inner landscape, that which we don't want to experience. The first one is to recognize what is happening. And it's not only recognize what is happening internally in our minds, but it's also to recognize what is happening in our bodies. If we have a pain in our bodies or a feeling of tightness or a feeling of discomfort, if we have jittery nerves, then it's important to recognize that. And we don't have to decide which came first. Was it the thought that made the feeling or the feelings creating the thought? Just start somewhere. If you're focusing on a feeling, ask what is the thought behind this feeling. If you're focusing on a thought, ask what is the feeling in my body. So just recognize with kindness and without judgment, with peace and calm, with compassion. Notice what is happening in our bodies. That's R. A is to allow. I put accept in the program in the affirmation, but it's really allow. To allow what is happening. To just be with it. Just allow it to be without fighting it, and to open up to the possibility that maybe this feeling or this thought has something to teach you. You know, usually what happens is that something comes up and we don't like it and we run away from it. We suppress it in some way. But what if we were just to allow it? You don't have to act on it. We don't have to act on it. Just allow it and allow it to teach us. The next one is I. I is for investigate with kindness. So we can take whatever's coming up within us. This is mindfulness, right? We've recognized it, we've decided to allow it, and now because it's here, we welcome it, and we decide to investigate it with kindness. So that means a kind and positive inquiry. If you've got a feeling, you can say, what is this feeling trying to tell me? If we've got a thought, we can say, what is the deeper meaning of this thought? Where is this judgment coming from? What is most important for me to know right now? There's not a connect the dots type thing. It's just a matter of getting good at our own process and good at our own recognition and allowing and investigating of what is really going on. And this becomes a beautiful process over time. And then the last one is N, and that means that means non-identification, that we don't have to identify with whatever is coming up. This whatever's coming up is not the truth of our whole existence. It is just what is happening right now. It's the old elbow-touching thing that we do here in the center, right? Touch your elbow, everybody touch your elbow. You didn't point at your butts, at least you can touch your elbows, right? Okay, so touch your elbow, and are you touching your body? Yes. Are you touching your entire body? No. there's this whole other body saying, hey, I'm here. It's not all about the elbow, right? And the same thing is true with whatever we're feeling, whether it's judgment or pain or shame or blame or guilt or regret or anything, any of those things that we're feeling, that's something that is happening right now, but it's not the whole of who we are. That's not the wholeness of who we are. So as soon as we start recognizing that, we don't have to over-identify with the feeling that we're having or with the body sensation that we're having, and we can recognize that there is so much more to us, and we can act from that place of so much more. Tara Brach talks about this in her book, where she went home for Christmas one year. There's that famous saying, I don't remember it exactly, but it's like, if you feel you're enlightened, spend the weekend with your family. Yes, go home. Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Yes, I remember Christmases like that at my house. I work here now, so I don't go home at Christmas. Yay! Thank you. So it was one of those Christmases, you know. It was her father, she said, her father was offended at dinner, and he went into an aggrieved silence. An aggrieved silence. Anybody ever experienced that? Yes, I know I have. I've done it too, by the way, just so you know. He was in an aggrieved silence, and the dogs were misbehaving. The dogs were begging at the table. Like, that's a bad thing. The dogs were begging at the table and being obnoxious. And her sister was complaining because nobody was taking her dietary needs into consideration. And her son was supposed to be helping with the dishes, but instead he took off, her teenage son. He took off and went off with his friends. And her mother was complaining that the son was irresponsible and not taking care of the family, right? That he should be, not living up to his commitments. And so Tara Brach said that she was in this state of intense judgment, of powerful judgment. And rather than lash out from that place of judgment, she took a walk. She put on these old galoshes, and she went outside, and she started to walk. And she had been working on the RAIN process for herself, particularly in the area of judgment. So she decided to just recognize first what was going on. R is for recognize. Recognize what was going on first. And she said, oh, it's judgment. It's judgment. And she got really specific about what she was judging, about what she was saying about people. My son is irresponsible. My father has a bad attitude. My sister's a whiner. My mother, whatever. You got it. And she got really specific, and she felt the sensation, and she moved into the place of allowing. As she got more specific and moved into allowing, her body opened up, and she felt this sensation in her body. It was this tightness in her heart. She felt like there was a hand holding her heart or something over her heart that was encapsulating it. And that seemed like a natural jumping off place for recognize, allow, investigate with curiosity. She investigated what the feeling in the heart was. And she just kept investigating, asking questions. What are you here to teach me? What am I supposed to learn from this? Investigate with kindness. That is key, right? Not what is wrong with you, but what are you here to teach me? Let me welcome you. And will you speak with me? Will you teach me? And ultimately, she learned that this will not be a surprise for those of you who have been around metaphysical or other teachings for a while. Ultimately, she learned that all of her judgment with others was coming from her own self-judgment, from her feeling that she was a bad sister because she wasn't considering her sister's dietary needs. She was a bad mother because her son took off with his friends. That she was a bad daughter because she said the wrong thing to her father and couldn't make him happy again. And that she was a bad daughter because, I don't know, her mother was upset, whatever. And once she realized that it was all about self-judgment, she recognized that. She moved into investigating with curiosity and moved into that place of non-identification and recognized that she was not her judgment. She was not her perception of inadequacy. She was so much more. Yes, she was feeling inadequate in this moment, but shining the light on it somehow made it dissipate, and she recognized that there is so much more to her than this perception of inadequacy. So much beauty, so much love, so much power, so much ability to be with what is as it is and so it is. And as she had that realization, the skies opened up and it started to rain. Isn't that beautiful? She had done the RAIN technique and it started to rain. You know, you can't make that stuff up. Or, I don't know, maybe you can, maybe she did. But anyway, it's a good story. it started to rain, and she came home soaking wet, and the dogs greeted her, and they were happy to see her, and she was happy to see them, and then everybody was off doing their own things on the internet, playing with their tablets, playing with their phones, whatever, and then ultimately, as the evening unfolded, they started coming together bit by bit, and she was in such a place of non-judgment that she started seeing the wit and the wisdom and the humor of being in a family, and ultimately, they started singing Christmas carols. She said it was horrible. It sounded awful. But she felt this deeper sense of love and connection because she had practiced. Specifically, she had practiced the RAIN technique. R-A-I-N, recognize, allow, investigate with what? Kindness. Kindness. Good job, y'all. Investigate with kindness and non-identification, recognizing that we are more than whatever it is we're feeling right now. So that's Tara's story. The key is to incorporate this, if you so choose, if you want to, into our own lives. You know, it gets easier with practice. There are things that happen that at some one point used to upset us or disturb us or set us into a tailspin, and now they just kind of slide off of us like Teflon as we practice. Something that happened to me this past week, I got yelled at. Somebody ripped me a new wholeness. Yep. And I'm trying to preserve this person's confidentiality. It's nobody that goes here. It was a businessman out of the church. Although we may talk him into coming here. But anyway, I was there with two church members. They knew who they are. I'm not making eye contact. And there was a sign. Okay, I'll just say it. We wanted to play with his goats. He had goats. We wanted to go see his goats, and there was a sign that said, check in at the trailer if you want to, well, not if you want to see the goats, but if you want to come on the property, check in at the trailer. We checked in at the trailer, and as soon as we knocked on the door, his dog started barking, and this man came out like Blazing Saddles. He was, I've never seen that movie, but but he was all upset, and he was yelling, and he was using bad language, and, you know, the old me, I felt it come up. I felt like somebody's yelling. I must have done something wrong. Briefly. You ever have that? If somebody's mad at you, it must be about you. It must mean that you've done something wrong. I should feel really guilty and shameful because this person is yelling at me. Felt it come up, allowed it. Quickly investigated it, saying, is that really true? Have you really done something wrong? No, there was a sign there. And then not identifying with it. And as it was, he kept yelling. We stood there, we tried to explain three times, and finally recognizing that it wasn't possible to explain, just took a deep breath, and I settled into my body, and with great compassion I said to him, who's a horrible animal? Who's a... I'm glad you like that. I worked on that joke. I hardly ever work on jokes, but I worked on the timing. Thank you. No, I didn't say that. I just said, you know, there's no fight here. We're going to go, and God bless you, and that's it. As it turned out, because we practiced, because we didn't fight back, and he was looking for a fight. You could tell. He was looking for a fight. We didn't fight back. We ended up, one of our party ended up contacting him, and they had this lovely email exchange where we are going to go back, and we're going to get to see the goats. Yay. Now, the point is not getting to see the goats. The point of mindfulness is not getting to see the goats or whatever it is you're looking for. Well, we can have goats too. It's okay. Whoever wants the goats. We can have, that's not the point. She says in the book, and I think this is so beautiful, it's not to get from point A to point B. The point of mindfulness is to be completely present with point A and see what point A has to teach you. And then if point B is supposed to happen, then point B will happen. That's it. That's about it. So my question for you is that I think probably I would assume that everybody is here because they want a good life, that maybe there's something that you're struggling with or maybe something that we can't fathom or something that just feels so oppressive and so sad, and maybe that there's something that is longing to express, because if we're feeling badly about something, to me that's always a sign that there is something greater that wants to express. But we can't bypass that which feels bad, that which feels uncomfortable. We just have to be with it. Recognize, allow, investigate with kindness, and choose non-identification. This kind of work can change your life so that struggle is no longer struggle, and suffering truly is the new joy. Everything is beautiful. Everything is here for you. Love loves you. You are love becoming love. Let's know that now, and let us pray.